The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Hello, old dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is the top 15 fastest growing submarkets. Now, I've always said, if you can invest in your local market, you should. It's easier and it's better for a number of reasons. Knowing your market well is critical. And if you've lived there, if you're living there, if you grew up there, you're going to know that market better than anyone else. You have that advantage. Even if you don't know your local market, it's close by. So you can dig in there and you can be there on a daily basis and find out more about it. Knowledge is power in real estate investing. And the better you know your market, the more likely you are to profit in it. Also, it's easier to manage when you're there. I mean, yes, you can hire an outside property manager, which I would do if I could invest locally. There's less likely to be problems when you have a property manager that knows that you could be popping in at any moment. Also, you know, your local team is your main team. You know, those of us that are out-of-state investors, we must have an attorney, a CPA, you know, locally where we live. And then in each market, we have to get an attorney and we have to get, you know, some of these key folks as well. You don't have the advantage necessarily as an out-of-state investor to be able to have a local bank that you have a relationship with that will be lending on your properties, because local banks usually will only lend in the local area that they're in. Also, you can network there. You can attend REI meetings and meetups and Chamber of Commerce meetings and so forth. And you'll be able to meet local investors and develop relationships with local bankers and even find a local mentor easier. You could even find potential tenants and be a part of that process of getting good people into your unit. You also have the advantage, too, if your family's also in the city that you're located in, is that you can have family members that are involved. Maybe they might be your on-site manager, or they might help you with maintenance, or, you know, just be a part of that process. And those are people that you can trust. Also, if you're in that local area, you know the local business and the economy because you're a part of that local business area. You can find out what the city plans are more intimately. You could get involved in the chamber or planning committees and find out how the city's going about attracting new businesses and what businesses are coming to town. So there are definitely some advantages to being able to invest locally. And I've had some guests on the show. I know that some of you have heard that are just doing bang-up business in their neighborhood, in their community, in their area. So there are definite advantages, but there are those of us that are not so fortunate, that we're living in markets that really are not ideal to invest in. Either the market is declining, maybe people are moving out of the area, there are no jobs, or the economy is poor, can't find investments that meet your particular criteria. Some of us are looking for a certain return, either it's cash flow or a combination of factors that we cannot get met in our local community. Maybe our your cap rates are too compressed, or cash flow, if it's a priority for you, especially as an old dog, you know, so you want to make sure you have a good solid cash flow. And if you can't get that locally, then it's really, you know, a disadvantage. And so you have to go outward. In other markets too, it may be sort of the top of the bubble in your area. And that's what I think is going on here in Southern California, especially, is that prices are really peaked out. They're not likely to go that much higher. And why would you want to buy when it's at the top of the cycle, which means there is going to be a decline at some point, and your property, you know, will not be worth what you bought it at. So not the ideal. The reason I share these lists really is they're not definitive by any means. They're snapshots of areas that you might want to take a look at that have potential. Today's list zeroes in on areas where population is growing above the national average. This comes right out of the census. So it's numbers that you could look up yourself just by going to census.gov and finding this information out. Population growth is what we're looking at in this particular list. And population growth is important, very important. If you don't have people coming into that area and it growing in a market that's developing, then you know, you're not likely to be able to have much promise in terms of your properties being rented like you'd like them to be. So it is an important factor. It's not the only factor. You also must consider things like jobs, large businesses locating into the area, appealing lifestyle, the rental market, where it's at, vacancy rates. Is there a state capital or a university nearby? These are strong things that hold down that area that are not likely to go away. A big box retail and shopping hubs, the location of an airport, infrastructure is the area you're looking at in the path of progress. You know, does it meet certain minimum population sizes? If you're buying apartments like I am right now, you know, you have to have a pretty good size population minimum in that area. But without a growing population, and again, I'm looking at emerging markets, so if it's not a growing area, then it's not an emerging market, and it's not going to have the primary tenants that I'm looking for in terms of growth. The difference with this list that I'm presenting to you is really, I'm not looking at the major cities, but these are sub-markets of major cities that may not be on everybody's radar. When you have especially out-of-country, out-of-state buyers, you know, they want to buy something in Orlando. They don't want to buy something that may be a suburb of Orlando. So this is a different list in that these may be markets that you could target in your shopping around for the best markets to invest in that may not be on everybody else's radar. So if you want to do a direct mail effort, or you want to try to dig in into these communities, you may be able to find some real gems. So that's why I'm sharing this, and that's why I'm hoping it'll be helpful to you. Just a couple of overview statements here about the list that I have. It looks at all these major markets throughout the U.S. and finds these sub-markets along with it. You see a lot of growth, especially in the South. Overall, the South continues to grow at a faster rate than the other U.S. regions. I think since the 2010 census, the population in large southern cities grew by an average of 9.4%. Okay, keep that in mind. The nation's growth rate, okay, population growth rate is 0.7. So you can see how much larger that is. That's amazing, like 11 times. There are certain areas like the West has got a pretty healthy, not as strong as the South, but the West has some pretty healthy growth in some states. But the Northeast and the Midwest have the lowest rates of population growth at 1.8%. and 3% respectively. So those are not a real prime areas if you're looking for emerging markets. Well, let me jump into the list here. I've already went on and on. I'm going to count backwards here. I'd like to do that. You know, if I could have a drum roll, please. Okay, great. Thanks for the drum roll. Okay, these are the cities. I'm starting with number 15. And I'm going to work my way back. These are the submarkets, 15 fastest growing submarkets. Number 15, Fort Myers City, Florida, with a 4.5% increase. A total population, 77,146. Number 14, Ankeny City, near the Des Moines area, Iowa, 4.5%, and 58,000 plus, almost 59,000 total population. Number 13, Meridian City, near Boise, 4.5%. 95,623. Number 12, Cedar Park City, and that's near the Austin area, which, you know, that's a hot area, has been for a while, in Texas. And keep in mind, too, the top five are all from Texas. So four out of five are from Texas. So Texas is still hot here. Number 11, Lehi City in Utah, 4.6 and 61,000. Number 10, Murfreesboro City, and that's near Nashville, Davidson area, Franklin, 4.7 at 131,947. Pretty strong population there. Number 9, New Braunfels City, and that's near San Antonio. And I know if I'm butchering these names, if there's people listening from these areas. But anyway, yeah, I'm trying to zip through this list here. That's in Texas, near San Antonio, 4.7, 73,000 population. Number 8, Bonita Springs City, near Cape Coral. Now, that's the second one near Cape Coral, the one number 15, Fort Myers City, also near that area. And it's a 4.8% increase, 54,198. Number 7, Buckeye City, near Phoenix, Mesa, Scottsdale area, 4.8, 64,000. Number 6, Bend City in Oregon, near Redmond, right around there, 4.9, 91,000. Number 5, Georgetown City, near Austin here, 5.5, 67,000. Number 4, Greenville City. Yeah, that's near Greenville, Anderson, Maudlin, South Carolina, 5.8 at 67,453. Number 3, McKinney City, near Dallas-Fort Worth, hot area here, 5.9, 172,000. And number 2, okay, Frisco City, also in the Dallas-Fort Worth, Arlington area, 6.2% increase, 163,000. Almost 164. And now, can we have that drum roll again? Okay, number 1 on our chart here. It's like Casey Kasem, and here's the number 1 city. Okay, here it is. Conroy City, and that's near Houston, the Woodland, Sugar Land area. 7.8% increase. Wow. 82,000 population. So that is our list, guys. And keep in mind, this is a growth over a one-year period. I generally, when I look at population growth, I look at it for the last 5 years, for the last 10 years. If it looks like it has had a history of growth, you really, really want to zero in on these areas. But these are definitely cities to watch, cities that you might want to take a look at if you are looking to invest out of state, or maybe you're in these areas. I don't know. You might want to definitely start looking in these areas. Well, that is it for today, old dogs. Remember, everything presented here. Now, this list will be in our show notes. You can just cut and paste it if you want to put it on a piece of paper and print it out. But it is available for you. Look it up at our olddogsnetwork.com website. So that's olddogsreinetwork.com/blog. And then you will look up show notes from today. And that's the 15 top submarkets. So that is it. Until next time, remember, cash flow is king and real estate investing the means. Thanks again for listening, and God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.